sugar, and spice. But we don't play nice. Welcome to Not Your Player 2.
Brought to you by Checkpoint XP.
With your host, Christine Kuki Solis.
You don't like it? Get better.
And Sarah Skopic.
Is this easy mode?
We don't just play as your healers. We play it all.
Hi, welcome to Not Your Player 2 podcast, brought to you by Checkpoint XP and Beasley XP of Beasley Media Group. I'm your host, Christine Solis, aka Cookie, and I'm also joined by my co-host, Sarah Skopic. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing fantastic, and welcome to the show.
Yes, we are on episode 14 of Not Your Player 2. We made it so far. We record and stream live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Come and join us as this is an interactive show. As always, we welcome your comments on the chat. Not Your Player 2 can be found on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review. We would love to read it on the show, good or bad. It's been a while. We've only had 3 reviews written on this show.
Come on, get us more reviews. We need to see them. Greet your friend to write them. You can even, we all know how really good Joe is at making reviews or sending angry letters. You can even get him to do it. Just write something.
Yes, please. We look forward to it. As always, we are going to start off the show with our gaming news. There seems to be a little bit of gaming news out there, especially with E3 around the corner, so we are going to talk about E3 later on. So, starting with the gaming news, Death Stranding finally has a release date. After the first few crazy teasers of Death Stranding, we all wondered when the heck is this game going to come out. Well, it's been set. It will be out this year, November 8th of 2019. Have you seen the trailer for this?
I have. I've never been much of a Kojima, like, I never really consumed a lot of his games. You know, it's hard because it's one of those things where you kind of see, I don't know how to explain this. You watch what's happening, and I just have kind of gotten used to, based on other things that I read or watch or whatever, I just kind of nod and go, well, that's a thing. That's got ideas. I don't know what that means, but I think I can live with that. But I don't know. I can't wait to see the reactions, though, of when this actually comes out, and it's going to be something completely different, because that's what Kojima likes to do.
And I love his genius mind. I know he's really into, like, the weird movies. Like, he's always been a big movie fan of, like, Godzilla, Guillermo del Toro movies, like Pan's Labyrinth. And seeing, I think the trailers that we most are, like, interested in is that baby, that little baby pod.
Yeah, I mean, there's just something about having any kind of, like, I think if you want an automatic weird credit, you do something with, like, a baby that hasn't been born yet. I don't know why. I feel like that's how you get instant weird credit. And so, I don't know. I hope it doesn't mean anything. Or I hope it means something that's nothing to do with babies. Or it's going to have to do with the latest news. I mean, he's had to make this game for a while, so probably not. But all the latest things have been coming out about, you know, rights of women's bodies or whatever, but I don't know what it's going to be. And I think that's the fun part with Kojima, even if I haven't played his games. Like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. Carlotta in the chat says, Sarah, get Joe to get the collector's pack of Death Stranding and wear the baby bridge and freak people out. Since you guys won't have, you guys aren't thinking of having kids, just bring that thing out.
Oh my gosh. See, like I said, I'd be too worried that my brother would just take it from us and just put it around the house.
But yeah, so Kojima is a brilliant mind. You do have to play at least some Metal Gear Solid game, please, Sarah. It's really great.
I will try. I remember Revengeance and went, that's interesting.
Do the original Metal Gear Solid at least.
One. Yeah, that's a weird example.
Yeah. All right. The Pokemon conference was done this past week. 4 developing announcements has been made. So the first one is Detective Pikachu game is coming out to the Nintendo Switch. It is set to resolve whatever ending Detective Pikachu on the Nintendo 3DS had, and it will also be different from the movie. It just didn't give any other details. So
I didn't play the first one, so I don't know what's going on.
Neither did I, but the movie was freaking amazing.
Movie was great. I mean, even though the game does not have the charm of Ryan Reynolds, I know the games were, if I recall correctly, they were out in Japan for a decent amount of time before mm-hmm. the game kind of notoriety over here. So the fact that it says it's going to resolve whatever ending just makes me wonder, like, what What happened?
Exactly.
Now I must know.
Yeah, I think I'm going to pick up my Nintendo 3DS and try it out.
Yeah.
The second announcement was Pokemon Home, which will be a cloud-based service. It basically takes your Pokemon from the Pokemon Bank for the 3DS, your Pokemon from Pokemon Go, and from Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, and the upcoming Pokemon Sword and Shield, so you can like transfer it in between your different Pokemon in between those games, and that's set to launch in 2020. That's pretty cool.
I'm kind of amazed they're willing to do that, since Pokemon has always kind of been about re-catch them all.
Exactly.
I'm actually not super familiar with Pokemon Bank. Is that a different game? Because like I've played Pokemon X and those kinds of games and stuff like that, but I don't know if that's something.
No, it's just something where you just store your Pokemon. It's not a game. It's just where you store your Pokemon. It's in the Pokemon Bank in the Pokemon 3DS games.
Got it. Oh, okay, got it. Okay, so you kind of get to combine a little bit of everything.
Correct.
I mean, the cool thing about that is I'm wondering if that means that Sword and Shield, they can kind of... I'm wondering how many Pokemon will actually be available to catch in Sword and Shield, because maybe the idea is that you will have had the older ones.
Yeah. So
I'd be curious to see.
Yeah. And it's a new generation, so we'll see.
Yes.
And the third Pokemon announcement was the Pokemon Sleep. So what is Pokemon Sleep? It basically tracks your sleep. And along with it, it brings along a new little hardware. So with Pokemon Go Plus, it's this little thing that you keep with you, and it keeps track or vibrates whenever you pass over like a Pokemon stop or a Pokemon is nearby. So Pokemon Go Plus is the same thing, but it also tracks you when you sleep. So,
I see. Yeah, the problem is that Pokemon Go is one of those things that like I get into for like a month and then I don't for 2 months and then I get aggressively back into it. So I am scared having Pokemon Go, even just Plus would do for me. The Pokemon Sleep is interesting. What I'm curious about is there are a lot of sleep apps out there.
Yes.
Tons. I have not tried one myself, only because I don't like have my phone with like next on me. Like when I go to bed, it's like on a table. So it doesn't really do much good to have an app. So the main thing I'm curious about is what makes this app different, other than maybe it's trying to get like kids, you know, to focus more on their sleep, which maybe is not a bad idea.
Yeah, that is actually not a bad idea.
Actually, now I think I realize what makes a difference. it's got the Pokemon label on it. But yeah, I'm curious to see how it works. Sleep is such an interesting issue, especially when it comes to younger kids and teenagers especially.
Yeah, so. But it's not just for teenagers and kids. I mean, I have to... You know, shout out to my brother-in-law. He actually keeps one of those, like, it's like a Fitbit. Well, basically, Pokemon Go Plus is just a Fitbit. It right. tracks your steps, and, like, he has that. I thought it was, like, a real Fitbit, and he goes, like, no, it just tracks my Pokemon and Pokemon Go. I'm like, you're such a weirdo.
No, you're right, it isn't. But that's what I mean by, like, what makes it different, because as adults, there's tons of apps out there that we know about and can use. So, but maybe that's more what they're trying to appeal to. Oh, Pokemon, trying to keep kids healthy. They make us walk, now they're making us go to sleep.
You know what? Good on them. Good on them.
Good on them. I have honestly, like, I'm curious to see how this will go.
Yeah. And the fourth and final announcement was Pokemon Masters. It's basically going to be a mobile game featuring trainers from past and present that you can battle with or against. This is set to launch later this year in 2019, so...
Huh. It's like a bunch of boss modes kind of thing?
Sort of. I mean, they didn't really show much about it. You just see, like, the three Pokemon battling against three other Pokemon of the other trainers. Microtransactions, most likely.
Obviously.
I know. No, probably skins and whatnot.
Yeah.
Anyway, VR is coming to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, but it's not the VR that you think. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is now supported through the Nintendo's Labo VR. The VR is very limited, though. You can watch as you're in the front row of the battle stadium and play as a single player against the AI.
Oh, well then. Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
This is a cool idea for the... I mean, I remember we've been kind of talking about the idea of having a VR system for esports and tournaments and stuff like that.
Right.
And that's a cool idea. This seems a little less exciting.
It's probably cool for the kids. So
yes, I'm sure. And they can get the expensive equipment and beg mommy and daddy for it. So
but the Labo VR is like, what, $150 for like cardboard glasses?
Oh, Jesus.
I really don't know the price point, but that's what it looks like to me.
I actually didn't even know Nintendo had a VR system, so who knows?
It's just a weird cardboard thing. Anyway.
Great.
The FIFA Women's World Cup France 2019 is being added to FIFA 19. It will feature 22 national women's teams. 10 of the teams are actually going to be new to the game. So
finally. I mean, I don't play FIFA, but finally. Get some. This was such an obvious thing that I even didn't even think about the fact that it was missing. But like, come on.
Yeah, I actually had to ask Norris. I was like, Norris, has women's teams always been in FIFA? He goes like, yeah, not since 2016. I'm like, oh, so it's really recent.
Really recent.
Really recent.
Like so. Last three games. What the heck, guys?
Yes. Oh,
it's just, I mean, once again, it just is playing. They're playing into the stereotype that like only these guys are buying these kinds of games. And listen, I'm probably not going to play FIFA anytime soon. I am saying, however, that I know plenty of women that are super into sports that probably would appreciate this kind of change. So it's a little sad that we're now just getting it, but thank goodness we are.
It's getting there. At least, you know, FIFA's still up there, unlike hockey. But Evil Geniuses has been acquired by Peak Six Investments. In doing so, Nicole LaPointe Jameson will be the new CEO of Evil Geniuses. According to Slasher, this marks her as the first African-American woman to be and CEO of an esports organization. So congratulations to her.
Congratulations! Oh, that's super. So one of my worries whenever I hear news like this is not worries, because I'm super, super excited and I'm so glad, but at the same time, there's always a part of me that goes, great, now it's going to be scrutinized way too much, because you've got both these kind of issues coming at you where you got a woman and an African-American woman. And so congratulations, Nicole. And I really, really hope that we need to be all the more supportive.
Yes, please. Because I've already seen stuff already that she hasn't been really into esports, you know, on her own business. But she is a businesswoman. She knows what to do to get partnerships and whatnot. And she's excited about it.
Yes. Okay. Let's just put this down right now.
Yes.
If your main complaint is just the fact that she doesn't have any, you know, connection with esports, she didn't really care. She got in this business. How many white older men took over video game businesses that didn't give a crap about video games?
Thank you.
Come on. Don't even play with me on this.
She seems excited, though. And also, she does have 10 years of taekwondo in her back pocket. So
she's going to beat your ass anyway, so I just wouldn't mess with her.
There was a nice little Reddit AMA for Evil Geniuses with Nicole and the other COO, Phil Amon, and it's an interesting read, so if you ever want to read it up at our Evil Geniuses. Anyway, the World Health Organization officially added gaming disorder to the listed of recognized illness. So this list is basically ICD, which stands for International Statistical Classification of Diseases and Related Health Problems. So thus, ICD. Gaming disorder is characterized by a pattern of persistent or recurrent gaming behavior, digital gaming or video gaming. This is what they're going to define it as, which may be online or offline, manifested by the following. So they listed impaired control over gaming. 2, increased priority given to gaming to the extent that gaming takes precedence over other life interests and daily activities. 3, continuation of escalation of gaming despite the occurrence of negative consequences. The behavior pattern is of sufficient severity to result in significant impairment in personal, family, social, educational, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. This ICD-11 will go into effect January 1st of 2022.
Yeah, so this has been an interesting topic, and those of you who know me know that my life when I'm not doing anything related to Checkpoint or video games is a social worker.
Right.
And I happen to work with kids. So one thing I do want to give a quick you know, designation, since I have the time to kind of really get into this, is that the World Health Organization is a world organization, and this ICD is the world like manual. But in the United States, we have our own manual that we go by called the DSM, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, which is basically United States kind of version of these, of a lot of these kinds of mental illnesses and all the like.
So the ICD is basically a general guideline for the DSM.
It kind of, yeah. I think certain countries around the world more look into the ICD, while the United States basically only looks at the DSM.
Okay.
So the coding is also different depending on what you look at, and also what you define as different kinds of mental illnesses. And the thing that I kind of want, and disorders, I should say, and the thing that kind of is important is that every country has a different way of designating their disorders and mental illnesses. So keep that in mind, that like it is an over-branching world thing, but it's kind of going to look different country to country. So the thing that's kind of hard about this for me is that one thing I'm really happy about is originally when they were first putting news about this, they were putting a kind of a number of hours of played games per week as one of their guidelines. I think that was probably a rough draft, which immediately made us all go, excuse me, not a good way to, you know, it's not really the best way to put it. And especially if you know anything about addictions and disorders, it's actually the how much or how often is only really a base guideline. It doesn't really tell you a lot. So that's at least how, thank goodness. The thing that's hard is, on one hand, you need to understand that like gambling addiction and gambling disorders kind of thing it kind of relates back into video games and how they're looking at it.
Okay.
Which is kind of the idea of like, maybe it's not reprogramming your brain like addictions basically do, but it's a behavior that you have a heart that you can't really stop. And also can sometimes lead into other issues. My only thing that I get kind of worried about when I see things like this is I'm not going to say that there's nobody that qualifies under this, because there's always going to be people that qualify under anything. It's just that I think, unfortunately, I have seen often, both in the United States, and I feel, even though I don't know much about Korea, where you see this as a more problematic issue, I don't know much about like Korean mental health, but I kind of see this and I kind of get a little bit worried, that they put this, instead of kind of focusing on what may be resulting in looking and having this, such as depression and anxiety and even social anxiety and stuff like that. So it's always been my one concern. Number two, my other concern that we've mentioned on the show is just that, especially in the United States, rehab facilities are often for profit. So you have to be careful where you have somebody who is going to take advantage of this. Someone sends their kids along and they can bill their insurance and make a lot of money for something like this. So that's sometimes something I get really, really concerned about with this kind of thing. At the end of the day, I'm not going to say that I'm not one of those people that's like, oh my gosh, this is the end of everything. But at the same time, I think that if you have people that may have confused about this, do remember this more than anything else. With any kind of disorder or addiction or whatever, the most important thing to realize is that it must cause significant impairment, as they say, in personal, family, social, educational, occupational, or other important areas of functioning.
Okay.
If it's just making your mom mad at you because you didn't do your chores, that's not an impairment of functioning. If it's making it that you're not remembering to get food to eat and live, that's an impairment of functioning. And those two things are very different.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. I mean, you actually have people who play these games and actually have a lives through these games. People meet each other through these games. So, like, where is that line where it's actually a real addiction disorder versus...
Right. And the truth of the matter is that that key part, by the way, that should always be included in any mental like disorder or illness that you are trying to look into, which is why you probably have some people that feel like, I was diagnosed with depression, but it's just because I kind of feel sad sometimes, and that's okay. And you're right, you were misdiagnosed, because that's what I mean by that, is that impairment of functioning is the key issue with all of these things, and especially with any kind of potential gaming addiction and disorder, what have you. And that's kind of my main worry, because I work with a lot of kids. I work with a lot of kids that have ADHD, who probably very commonly look like they have gaming disorder, But it's not that they have gaming disorder. It's just that because of the ADHD, video games are a lot easier to work with and play than, say, do their homework, which makes sense.
Right.
So I think it's also very important to keep that in mind as well. So I'm not surprised that this eventually came into place. I do have concerns of what that might look like. But I am hopeful that, especially in the United States, a lot of our psychiatrists and psychologists have been a little iffy about this. So it's not in our DSM, so it's going to look a little different.
I mean, it says it'll go into effect until 2022. So they do have a few more years to narrow it down and make it things yes. more specific. So
yes, which will be very important. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Again, I really kind of felt like this came out in result less of like the United States and more like what we were seeing in China and Korea, because there was a lot bigger issues. And again, to be completely honest, mental health is a very cultural thing, what we define as is. So I don't know what's going on over there. And if I put my American lens on it, I really am not doing them a service. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to really say.
Yeah, totally makes sense. Later on in the show, we're bringing back What Up With Your Girl, but coming up next, E3 2019. What are you hyped for?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
In a couple weeks, one of the biggest video game trade show, E3, will go down at Los Angeles, California. The biggest video game developers come together to show off current and upcoming games, usually in press conferences before the actual E3 event happens. So let's break down the press conference's schedule and see what we hope for, and then that way you can be ready when E3 comes around. And just a reminder, Sony PlayStation has decided not to have a presence at E3. I'm a little bit sad about that.
Yeah, can I just say, and I know this is slightly going off topic, but like, there's been so many places that are like not coming to E3 and are just kind of deciding to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And it's just making me think like a country that has a king and all the other countries are like, nah, we're going to just have our own thing now. We secede.
That's an interesting comparison. Okay.
Sorry. I still have Game of Thrones on the brain.
Oh, no.
I know. Oh, no. But
yeah, so PlayStation, bye-bye. I mean, they already had their Death Stranding thing going on, so
yeah. It really does make me think, like, how long till everybody just kind of says, screw it, we're going to make our own thing, and we don't need E3 anymore.
I think it's just because E3's been weird lately, like, introducing public to E3 when it used to be just a specific trade show only, industry only.
Yeah, you're
only
right.
Show.
That's right. Anyone can buy a ticket basically now. I forgot about that. That only happened like 3 years ago or something, 3 or 4 years ago,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. But would you really want to spend $150? I think it's worth
No, but I have a friend who did. Does. So.
Ouch. Anyway, so starting with Saturday, June 8th, will be the EA Play live stream. It's not an actual press conference because they don't really have anything much. It will start at 9:15 a.m. Pacific Standard Time because it is in L.A., the West Coast. They're going to start off with a countdown. Then they'll go on to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Excited about that. It's an actual what?
The only thing I'm excited for on that list.
They got Apex Legends, Battlefield 5, FIFA 20, Madden NFL 20, and The Sims 4. So
yeah.
Yeah, you're maybe, right. Star Wars is the only one.
It's the only one I'm excited for. Maybe I'll see Bethesda breathing. Probably not.
Nah, we'll see. And then Sunday, June 9th, it will be the Microsoft Xbox press conference at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So here, Microsoft has already announced they're going to have 14 first-party games to show at E3 this year. That's a lot of games. I feel like it's just going to be back-to-back game trailer, game trailer, game trailer like they did last year. Oh, gosh. I know. So we'll see what they do this year. I know people are really excited for like a new Fable game. maybe that will pop up. Gears 5.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Peter Molyneux in a minute. He usually can't keep his mouth shut.
I don't know. Maybe it's something, maybe a new IP. Maybe they'll,
I'd be down with that.
Yeah. Maybe they'll be mentioning something about their partnership with Sony. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe.
I really hope that like some Sony executive is just being like hustled out in a box and they're like, surprise! That would make my day.
If they do, I'm going to think about you. Surprise! That's hilarious.
That's how I wanted to say it too. High pitch voice and all. It's going to be great.
And then later on that night for Sunday, June 9th, is the Bethesda Showcase at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Of course, everyone is waiting for more information on the Elder Scrolls 6 game. Yes, yes. Maybe more on The Witcher?
Maybe. I think they had said they already weren't going to really release much on Elder Scrolls 6, but like, I hope they're lying. I need something. Give me something.
Not just a title screen. Give her more.
Title screen. Give me a location. Just give me something. Give me some hope.
Hope.
No.
Yeah. Like, no. I don't know. Maybe more Fallout stuff. I mean, Fallout 76 is doing okay. But I don't know what else they would do for Bethesda.
I don't know. Another Skyrim release on something else. What haven't they put it on? maybe they will put on Alexa on your ice machine. I'll wait and see.
They're probably doing more with Doom stuff because I've noticed they posted pictures of like a lot of Doom posters and stuff. Not posters, building paintings in downtown LA. So of course Doom. I got to pick up Doom again. Anyway, and then Monday, June 10th, they're going to start off with the PC gaming show at 10 a.m. PT, Pacific Standard Time again. They have partnered with Epic Games for this show. So.
Oh, no! Steam was not invited! Oh! It's going to be... Oh, man, I can't wait for the Mean Girl Party tweets.
Oh, no.
Oh, I hope so. But yeah, gonna be interested to see where this is gonna go.
Yeah, I'm not really a PC gamer, so I'm kind of like, eh.
Well, the problem is that I am a PC gamer, but I'm pretty sure I play PC on games that are on consoles, so I don't really know what to look forward to. That's either like indie games on PC, which is not what this is, or it's, you know, games also on console, but I prefer the PC version. So I don't know what it's gonna be. Just Epic Games putting out their LOL Steam, we got here, you didn't.
Oh, no.
Or just more Fortnite, I don't even know at this point.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'll be there at the PC gaming show, so we'll see what happens.
All right.
So again, follow us on our social media and we'll tweet out some things. Later that day, right after the PC gaming show, would be the Ubisoft press conference at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're probably going to get more Just Dance. Maybe an Assassin's Creed game? Or is it too early?
I don't think that's a question mark. They always seem to have one ready.
I was going to say, is it too early? When did Odyssey come out?
No, Odyssey came out a hot minute ago. It's not too early. There'll be something.
No, oh, jeez. And then
just take a dart, throw it at a year and at a country, and that's how you get your new Assassin's Creed game. Oh no, World War II, we gotta redo it because they promised they wouldn't do World War II.
Oh gosh. And then Rainbow Six Siege, I'm sure they're doing something with that, of course. It's huge in the esports world.
Yes, that's true.
And then I think last year they did what was that game? Beyond Good and Evil 2. No, yes. They're not gonna do that though this year. I've been seeing news articles saying no, there will be not no Beyond Good and Evil 2 this year, so Maybe they just put out that as a rumor and they will show it. Who knows?
Maybe. Do they do that, by the way?
What?
Do game companies like lie and say they're not going to talk about something and then they totally talk about something in E3? Has that been a precedence?
I don't know, but it could be a thing.
We're going to track this down. All right, don't worry. We're going to have our notice up here. We're going to make sure we listen to our last episode, and then we'll be talking to post E3. We're going to check back on this.
Right.
Who lied? Who did it and were mad about it?
Later on in the evening, you got the Square Enix press conference. It is just only like a stream at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Of course, we're going to get more information on Final Fantasy VII Remake. I spoke too fast.
Hopefully we will.
And they did announce, Marvel also announced along with Square Enix that they are going to show some stuff about that Avengers game that we haven't seen since it's been last teased.
Oh my gosh.
What do you think it's going to be? Is it going to be an MMO or is it going to be just a first person story driven game?
MMO would make sense, but I kind of hope it isn't because I don't play MMOs that often anyway. I don't know. I really want, and they're not going to give this to me, but I just want, I want like a create your own Avenger and then like hang out with the Avengers and have a story. Like that's what I want so bad.
Okay, so wait a minute. You want it to be like DC Universe Online?
Yes! I need this in my life, Christine! But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's gonna be, especially Square Enix is on it, so that's a little confusing to me. I know it's a different, like, company within that's actually making it, whose name escapes me at the moment. But yeah, that's what I want. What's it gonna be? MMO is probably a really, really good bet.
Did you mean Crystal Dynamics, or?
Yeah, Crystal Dynamics, that's who it is. I was like, the word diamond's in my head, but I don't know why. Crystal Dynamics, that's who's making it. And they've got a pretty good rap.
Yes,
so,
they do.
Yeah, so, I don't know. What do you want it to be?
I wouldn't mind it to be an MMO, for sure.
Yeah. Like,
Lloyd says in the chat, he hopes it's an MMO set in the current cinematic universe. So...
could we do it post-Avengers? I guess you could.
It could probably be set where we are at in the current Marvel movies, like after the snapping and everything.
Yeah,
it could be then. Pelican in the chest is cooking with the Hulk.
Oh, heck yes. Yes, I need this.
But I get it, because it would actually make sense since Marvel is actually into the making of this game as well. So,
yes. You
never know.
Yeah, it would make sense after. It also makes sense to do it after because, I guess we're allowed to say spoilers, but I won't. But basically, I mean, after this latest movie, things have kind of gotten reset as far as, like, now it's up to the younger generation of Avenger heroes to kind of take on the mantles, right?
Right.
So, that would make sense of having, like, an MMO in a world like that. You know what we don't have that I'm surprised we don't have? Like an MMO, create your own character for like X-Men.
Now that makes me wonder, would X-Men be in this too?
That's what I'm wondering. Is that going to be like their thing? I don't know.
And that's a way to introduce X-Men into the movies too.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So many questions.
I know.
Oh, this is the only thing I'm excited for Square Enix. I don't care about Final Fantasy VII.
Or Final Fantasy XIV, their new expansion.
Yeah, play that game.
Yeah.
I killed Christine. Sorry, Christine.
That was kind of hilarious. Anyway, sorry, Final Fantasy XIV. We love you. It's just that, you know, you just...
You can put the I in that statement. You can leave it. I'm just kidding. I have no ill feelings for Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
I just have no feelings, actually.
There's another press conference later that day on Sunday. Was that Sunday? No, we're on Monday. What the heck? On Monday, June 10th, is Devolver Digital at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, they're always known as the anti-press conference, where they do it in a weird kind of quirky way.
Yeah. Listen, their press conferences you usually don't want to miss because they're usually very over the top.
Right.
And I think the word you're looking for is satirical.
Yes,
they're
thank
usually
you.
Satirical and making fun of the other the other ones. So they are late at night and probably going to be worth it.
Yes. I do want to see another Hotline Miami, like a Hotline Miami 3. So that's like one of the top games I would play from Devolver Digital. Anyway, and then the last press conference would be Tuesday, June 11th, Nintendo at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Of course, we're going to get more information of Pokemon Sword and Shield. I'm very sure of that. Animal Crossing? Yes, please?
Maybe?
Yes, please?
Wow, since their last game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why everyone, like, screamed for joy for Animal Crossing on the Switch coming up. So that was last year's E3, right? Oh,
was it?
I think so.
It's been a minute. It's been a year. I don't know.
It has been a year. I am so ready for Animal Crossing on the Switch. And then Metroid Prime 4. That's another one we haven't heard in a while either.
Yeah, I didn't even realize they were making one. But yeah.
Okay, you need to start watching these E3 press conferences, Sarah.
I'm really bad at that. I really am. No, actually, it's not that I didn't know about it. It's more of that I was like, oh, four. Yeah, I guess it would be just because they've made so many. What really made me confused is they've had so many side Metroid games that I can't keep straight. Like the one for the, I think it was for the 3DS, where you didn't even play as the main character. Mm-hmm. And it's just, so that's why I'm like, okay, where are they going to go with this? Especially since it was spoiled to me how that particular game ended. So I'm a little confused.
Anyway, I think that's about it for the E3 press conferences. I will be out at E3 this year again. Sarah couldn't join us this year. Hopefully next year she will.
Maybe. We'll see. So, some year.
Yes. So tune into E3 press conferences. Let us know what you are excited for E3. I know that was our last social media question of the week, but connect with us on social media at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Every month we bring What Up With Your Girl to you, where we check out the history, stats, and story of female video game characters. For this episode, we are going to check out Ellie of The Last of Us. Sarah, lead us with some facts about Ellie.
Absolutely. First of all, you should know that Ellie is one of those helper characters that doesn't suck, so that's great.
Right.
Secondly, Ellie made her first debut and appearance in the game in The Last of Us, which was in 2013. Amazing that that was only 6 years ago.
Yeah.
American actress Ashley Johnson was the one who voiced and portrayed Ellie. She's also known as the daughter of What Women Want and Chrissy Sievers in Growing Pains.
Wow, she still looks young.
Yeah, I know, right? I didn't even realize how, so strange. Ellie is only 14 years old in the game The Last of Us. However, she kind of had to be aged up from her initial design. There was this huge issue where her game was coming out the same time as this little-known game called Beyond Two Souls.
That's right.
From David Cage, who used Ellen Page for his main character, and Ellie looked a little too much like Ellen Page.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, it doesn't help that her name is Ellie, too. So there were a lot of people that wondered if they had literally just copied off of Ellen Page's look, because Ellen Page is known for having a very youthful look, despite how old she is. It probably was not their intention, but a little weird. Nevertheless, Ellen Page was a little bit annoyed about it. I don't think she did anything too much legally wise, but they did kind of have to adjust some things, and they tried to make her look, Ellie at least, look a bit more like Ashley Johnson as a result.
How old is Ellen Page? She does seem young.
She is. I don't think she's much older than I am.
She's 32 years old.
Yeah.
She's only 32. I mean, wow.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, she's not that much older than me. So moving forward, Ellie loves to collect comic books throughout the game. Mm-hmm. She's a real big nerd like that. But that's what's also kind of funny is she has a joke book that you can find in her backpack during the game. And she'll even mention a few of her favorite jokes.
Like what? I'm just kidding.
I was going to say, like, don't put me on the spot like that. probably my favorite fact, Ellie says the F word 53 times in the game. Which actually makes her the most avid cursor in the game.
Cusser.
Cusser? Cursor? I don't know. Those two. She curses a lot. and says Alyssa's the most curse words in the game. So that's hilarious. What's also really awesome is Ellie is an LGBT character. It was first suggested in the mini prequel, Left Behind, that her best friend Riley and she had a kind of thing going on.
Yes.
And in fact, actually, originally it wasn't really made canon yet. But for sure, by that E3 2018 trailer, it's pretty well confirmed that Ellie likes the ladies. And of course, Last of Us 2, the last we heard about Last of Us 2 was E3 2018 during the Sony press conference. There was an 11-minute that starts off with a party, which we see Ellie definitely having an intimate
hey,
moment
girl.
With
that
girl. but it goes into a much darker theme with, you know, Ellie
killing
getting out, killing people and just doing that.
Yeah.
So, great.
Yeah. If you haven't played The Last of Us, go ahead and play it because Naughty Dog really does some of the greatest narrative-driven story games ever.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's definitely an experience, and it's just definitely, I don't know, it's all I can really explain it as. It's one of those games that I think people, whenever people say it feels like I'm playing like a movie, it's usually not used as a compliment for a video game. This is one of the few times where it had that cinematic feel with very solid gameplay. So yeah. It's definitely one for the books.
Yeah. So if you haven't played The Last of Us, I know we're trying not to say spoilers of this game. Yeah. Basically, you play Joel. He's tasked to escort Ellie to find this group called the Fireflies. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic world where, you know, zombies or this parasitic virus that's going on. Yes, zombies.
Yes.
It is kind of terrifying. I really hate clickers ever since this game. I can't even play this game because of this stupid clickers. It's like click, 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 and like you can only hear and they like start chasing you and you have to be like super stealthy and everything. But it's a really good game. You watch Ellie and Joel grow together. Even though it was probably like less than a year that they've been traveling together, but they have each other's backs. They are also known to be solo, but they have this strengthened bond together. And yes, Ellie is only 14 years old, but you have that sense that she's struggling between her childhood versus her adult, where she's coming into an adult. So which is why I like the fact that she's like collecting these comic books, like, hey, I'm still a kid. Mm-hmm. And then you go over here, like you're killing zombie like things. And then like in Last of Us 2, you see her more as an adult, actually like slitting someone's throat and stabbing a throat. It's like, whoa, Ellie, slow down.
She's had to grow up too fast.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes, exactly. But as Sarah said, this game is very movie-like and you grow with these characters and you learn to love them and, you know, be kind of sad for them too, for what they have both gone through together. So I'm just really excited about The Last of Us 2. The last I heard that the game got delayed until 2020 because of the Death Stranding, which is kind of weird. Because Death Stranding is like its own studios with Kojima Productions. That doesn't have to do anything with like Naughty Dog.
It's not like you're trying to do DC versus Marvel movies out like coming out or anything. But so I was a little confused about that. But
yeah. So I'm still kind of hoping for a holiday release for The Last of Us 2, even though we're not getting any Sony presence at E3. We'll see. If not, probably early 2020. I'm fine with that because we're probably going to be playing Death Stranding.
Fair enough.
Yes, fair enough. Anyway, I think that's going to do it for today's podcast. Thank you so much for joining us at Not Your Player 2. Again, our regular live stream and recording is every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Remember to join us for the discussion. You can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Leave us a review. We will definitely read it on the show. We've only had 3 reviews since the show started. We're on episode 14 and only 3 reviews. We need one for every show at least. Come on now. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find more information, news, interviews, and our other shows, including our nationally syndicated flagship radio show, Checkpoint XP, as well as other podcasts such as Winter Has Come. They just did their last podcast. Check that out on the Game of Thrones episodes. The Other Identity, basically a comic book show with Joe and Robbie. And low team damage with Norris and Robbie for all Overwatch League. Thank you again for joining us here at Not Your Player 2, and we're signing off.
Bye-bye.